Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. The number two pick in the draft, that's Morant, right?
Yes, John Morant.
All right, John Morant. Did you hear about how he ended up at Murray State?
No.
Okay, so this is kind of a cool story. So he had one scholarship offer, and he was at some like event, and they said, if you don't hear your name, you're going to this auxiliary gym. So this guy at the time that was a scout for Murray State got hungry, so he got like soda and chips, and he happened to look into the auxiliary gym and see the kid play, and then offered him a scholarship right there.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like it was based entirely on a whim, and that he the kid didn't get picked to play in the game that all the scouts were there, and he was there to see another guy. So he was just playing in this gym where there was no one else watching.
Oh, that's crazy. And now he's number two, more than likely going to be the number two pick in the draft this year.
More than likely he's going to be the number two pick in the draft. And I guess that when he offered the scholarship, Morant's mother goes, well, is this for 4 years? And he started laughing. He's like, you're not going to need 4 years.
Yes. He's going to be drafted. Yeah. Has he finished 2 years of school?
Yeah. He just finished his sophomore year.
So, the Celtics are going to take a point guard, right? They're going to have to.
You would think.
Okay.
To back up Terry Rozier.
Which crushes your dream of Bol Bol being the person they're going to go
after. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, suppose Bol Bol slips and that second first-round pick sitting there in the 20s.
Now, why are you scared of Bol Bol?
Because
he's so big that he can't stay healthy?
No, I'm thinking this would be a funny pick because the Celtics, if they can't deal all three of their first-round picks, so they can't deal two of them, and you're stuck taking a guy, why not take a flyer on that guy?
Well, Bol Bol is a freak. I mean, he's like he's deadly from three.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is
a lot of people forget his dad was shot threes at the end of his career, too, believe it or not.
Well, they're more like YouTube videos. He didn't shoot a lot of threes.
Yep.
So Bol Bol
is like 7'1".
So Bol Bol is 7'2", and he has a wingspan of 7'8".
Yeah. Yeah, and he just can drain threes. Like, he can play the perimeter.
How tall was his dad?
7'6".
Okay, that's what I thought.
7'7", something like that.
So, there's no way he's going to stay healthy.
No, he played less than a year at Oregon and got hurt.
Yeah. If it's a late first rounder, why not?
Ultimately, I think if Danny Ainge had his druthers, he'd trade two of the three first-round picks and then take a draft and stash with that third guy, like a Gershon Yabusele, where he can stay overseas for at least a year.
Sure.
I'm thinking that's Danny Ainge's ideal world.
Yeah, they don't want to have three rookies.
No,
yeah,
they don't want to have two rookies. They want to deal. If someone will take the 14th pick and they can get anything of measure in return for it, like a player, a bench player for the 14th pick, That's a gold mine, but considering this draft is considered very shallow, the odds are very much against that.
All right. Yeah. I don't mean to drastically change gears, but let's say you had truth serum that you could inject into Bill Belichick, and for one question, he can answer anything that you asked him involving sports.
I was going to say Jovi, but all right.
Not like sexy times, though. Like, right. Honestly, if you could ask him one thing about his career and he could be completely honest with you, what would that question be?
I know Fred's answer.
No, I would ask about Garoppolo.
That was going to be my answer. I thought for sure
about
you'd ask
Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah.
Like why?
Oh,
like,
the power play behind all of that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I would want to know.
If he, why you
was
why
he
you
forced to
for
was
pick?
He was he forced to do it? Was did he do it on his own? I mean, is there tension between?
See, that wouldn't be mine. I forever will want to know why the hell was Malcolm Butler benched in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like that would be number one.
But because, here's the thing.
I mean, that will go down as the worst coaching decision of all time.
But
we
they
agree,
won the
correct?
Next, yeah, but they won the next year.
Right, but they could have won that year.
I know. I'm just
all
saying,
they had to do was make one stop.
The fact that they won the next year kind of takes the shine off of that.
Okay, but it's still
if they
a
hadn't
big
won,
deal.
If they didn't win the next year, then yeah. I mean, sure.
That's fair. But also that is, you know, you want to know what was the behind-the-scenes story on all of that. And forever, people have seemed to keep their mouth shut. I thought that was something that a month afterwards it was going to leak out. Yeah. And you were going to find out what went on. Well, Marquise Flowers, who played for the team at the time, tweeted out this weekend, "I'm going to tell y'all the truth about Super Bowl 52 when I retire." And immediately, everybody has been tweeting, "Was why don't you just tell us now? Why don't you tell us now?" He's now a member of the Redskins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So does the
Not
fact
here.
That he tweets this out saying that, you know, there is a truth, that there might be something to it, make you put into belief that all of the talk about, well, we just didn't think he was ready to play is complete and utter BS?
Oh, I never.
No one bought that.
Nobody bought that, but I just want to make sure no one in this room bought into that.
No,
seeing that he was in 98% of the snaps or something up to that point for the entire season.
No, he had missed a plane and said he was sick. And then, so there was weird stuff leading up to it.
It was the alleged wild rumors, like a run-in with Steve Belichick in a hallway somewhere.
I mean, the rumors were fantastic.
Yeah.
That was out there, that he pushed somebody and that, you know, Bill Belichick did not like the fact that he did that to Steve Belichick and that he was, you know, disrespectful. And because even if it was that, like they say, he was not looking good at practice, don't you at halftime put him in?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. Of course.
Of course you do.
Yeah, and like, who cares how he looks in practice?
Well, I mean,
he's played for you for years.
Butler is being taught a lesson.
I just
it was clear.
Well, if he was being taught a lesson, I don't know why you were teaching it because it was the last game he was going to play for you. I mean, that's not the time to teach a lesson
because it would affect his free agency
or an object lesson to everyone else on the roster.
Well,
I don't care what time of year it is. I don't care what game we have to play. You do X, this happens to you.
All right, I'd rather get the ring. But I think that's not a place to be making a point. I mean, pull a Welker and, you know, make him sit out the first series.
And that's, you know, I'm right. I mean, you would think that would be the case. Like, hey, you know, if it's punishment, it would have to be something really bad. The way they were just getting killed out there. One stop. That's it. One stop. And you can't tell me that Malcolm Butler wouldn't have helped out. One single stop.
He certainly wouldn't have hurt.
So that's Marquise Flowers saying that as soon as he retires, he's going to tell you all the truth about what happened there. Either that or he's all trolling us. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Is your name Robel?
Robel, yeah.
Okay.
Robel, please step out of the restroom. There's a lot of echo in the room you're in.
Oh, wow. You guys are genius. How do you know?
Just flush it and walk out of
here. Yeah.
I walked out.
There you go. Sounds a little bit better.
Okay. This guy in the Celtics locker room who's telling me that the Celtics are looking at Kobe White of North Carolina and Taco Fall, the 7'7", 300-pound guy.
Yeah. Well, the Taco kid is, they're saying, might be too tall at the NBA right now.
I keep seeing workout videos of him working on post play. Until you tell me that guy can step out and shoot threes at an NBA level or defend anyone on the perimeter, they'll pick and roll that kid to death.
That's what they're saying. They're saying he's a rim protector, but is there a room for that in the NBA if that's
not
your
anymore.
Only skill set?
Not anymore. The best rim protector in the league is Rudy Gobert, who is exceptionally athletic. Kid who plays for Utah. He is great. He's got the foot speed to go defend on the perimeter. Every center in the league, shot blocker or not, has to be able to defend the wing. And I'm not convinced that kid Fall could do it. I mean, if you play for a mid-major, and against Duke it worked. Against Duke, you were in the tournament, you were able to stand underneath the basket and swat anything that comes your way away. But not the NBA. Completely different game.
And yeah, and then he got in foul trouble because even in the college level, they had to pull him off the court, and every time they pulled him off the floor, Duke would go on a run.
Taco Fall's not a first-round draft pick.
No.
No. I mean, I was reading he was part of the G League showcase. I mean, I just first think, I've heard he's going to get drafted by somebody.
If when you were a kid, if you ever heard someone's draft stock was down because they were too tall,
yeah,
you would have thought that they were idiots.
Yeah,
I mean, remember when Larry Brown took was it Larry Brown who took Shaun Bradley? Larry Brown
took two overall. Oh, he took Milicic. He took Milicic.
It was Milicic, but our, yeah. But I mean, Bradley went
second. Shaun Bradley went second. Yes. It,
based entirely on his height.
Correct.
So that's how much the game has changed.
Yeah.
Bradley. He was in the Hoops movie with Bugs Bunny in it.
Yes, he was. Space Jam.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Space yep. Jam.
Yeah, they somehow worked him in there. That was entirely because of his height.
Sure. And well, I mean, they needed a real tall guy, and then you have Muggsy Bogues, a real short guy.
Yeah, they wanted to show the difference between the two of them. Because Charles Barkley just did 6'6". I mean, come on. Yeah.
Danny Ainge in the movie, too.
It was, let's see, it was Barkley, LJ, Bradley, Bogues, and who was the fifth guy?
Oh, you're talking about the Monstars?
Yeah.
The talent five, was taken away?
The
Oh, it was Larry Johnson.
I said that.
LJ, okay. LJ, Bogues, Shaun Bradley, Charles Barkley, Ewing. Ewing was Patrick the fifth Ewing. Guy.
That's right. Right. And who was playing golf with Danny Ainge and Bill Murray?
Jordan.
That's right.
No, it was Larry Bird, Bill Murray, and Michael Jordan. Those were the three.
Oh, no. Ainge was in the game, right?
Yeah, no, Ainge.
He was playing against Ainge. That's right. Ainge was not golfing. He was on the court against the Toon Squad, right?
Yeah, he was like a bad guy.
He was?
If you were playing against the Toon Squad, weren't you a bad guy?
No, but those were cartoon characters. That wasn't Ainge.
I don't know.
Maybe in one of the things where the players lose their powers. Yeah, Ainge was
the
Phoenix.
He was playing for
Phoenix, and then Charles Barkley lost his powers.
It was the game where the Monstars stole their powers.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, glad we solved that.
I saw the end of Kingpin yesterday, and it was it's been ruined forever.
Oh, because of John Dennis?
Yep.
Dude, I don't care. You can't ruin the end of that movie. It makes it funnier that he's in it.
No, because I just think of him screaming on Twitter and how much it scares me that people who've made all that money in radio can still end up like that.
Right? That's just bitter at the world.
Yeah, it's just like the face of like my fear. All right. We have the stat coming up, Rich. What we discussed.
If you thought that O.J. Simpson getting on Twitter was the worst Father's Day treat, just wait to see who else sent out a Father's Day wish yesterday.
All right. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA. Hope is here, 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. My son's elementary school graduation is today.
Mm-hmm.
John, how old are your children? Fourth?
Yes. Yeah, so just finished third, going into fourth grade.
Mm. Do you think you'll have big emotions when they graduate? fifth grade?
No, they go from elementary to middle after fourth in my town.
Really?
Yeah, middle is 5, 6, 7, 8, I think. Yeah.
What is Nate? They got to get those guys working at the fast food places.
Apparently
as
so.
They got to get them out of Dodge. Yep.
Middle school is fifth grade where I am.
Oh, so you even have a year early to have your emotion.
Yes, next year.
Because I think you have until seventh grade while they're still, like, kids.
It depends. Like, if they go to a middle school or something that includes, like, ninth graders, no. If they're, like, there's a mix. Because I know some schools do that. They'll start, like, from like fifth to eighth or something like that. That's weird because then the fifth graders get exposed to stuff that the eighth graders have.
Correct.
Well, yeah, like,
that's going to be all kinds of awesome in the Wallach House.
No, I'm talking about like when hormones kick in like for real.
Oh.
And I think 12 and a half probably is it when you realize that you're a male.
Yep, you're a young man.
When you realize and all that comes with that.
Yes.
It's because I think that's really the.
Not looking forward to it.
Are you saying your son's going to ask to borrow the iPad?
I guess if he's like everyone else.
Dad, before you use it, can I have a turn?
That's just the worst. No. No.
No? There's a separate iPad from Milo.
You go to the woods and you find it. You find it in the woods like everyone else did.
Now this is driving me crazy, John, because now that Hardy's come in here, it got me thinking about the golf tournament. Fred wasn't with us last year.
I thought he was.
It was you, me, Bedard, and who else?
I thought it was Fred last year.
Dan O'Brien.
Oh, Dan O'Brien. Okay, okay.
That's got to be who it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was not
having a massive brain fart before that.
It was not high.
Hardy's too highfalutin to play with us, you know, us hackers, us duffers.
I don't want to bring Hardy down. Hardy's
That's
a good golfer.
Point. Hardy is a good golfer.
He's a very good golfer.
No, I am not. I am, in fact, my game has gotten worse. I think my good shots this season have gotten better, but my bad shots have gotten worse.
What's your handicap?
Like a four, right?
I don't have one established yet.
Bad sense of humor.
You are a caution. You, sir.
I set myself up and then waited for you to talk and then skedam!
Toucher and Rich, they're a panic. Listen every morning. Yeah, don't miss a second. Lowest I was ever was a 10.8.
Wow.
Last time I was on the board officially, I think it was a 14.6. And I've been putting in scores right now. I'm trending right around like an 18.
Not good.
I'm a 30, baby. Don't worry about me.
Yeah. No, it's... But I count every stroke. I mean, I count everything. You know, I'm just going to pick this one. I'll play it out and just, you know, do whatever it takes because I don't understand people who like reverse handicap, you know?
No, because, well, they some places say that you can, at a certain handicap, you can't give yourself more than a six.
Yeah. I mean, once you're established,
yes.
You know, you're not supposed to. You know, and I don't even know what it is. It's been so long because I stopped playing. I played a total of like, I think, 5 or 6 times last year.
All right.
Well, so I'm trying to play more.
Well, you knowing everything about golf etiquette, was Jordan Spieth being a dick when he called out his caddy for, he goes, 2 bad shots in a row because the first shot was too short, went in the water. His second shot went over the green. And on TV, he yelled at his caddy and said, great job, Chris, or whatever his name is. 2 great shots in a row.
I think I didn't see that, so I'd have to watch it in context. I think he's a little prick, Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth.
Well, yeah, and for his...
He's told us many times before.
What's that?
Jordan, they're a team. They're Team Jordan. You know that.
Oh, the caddy says that?
Oh, no. Jordan Spieth has talked many times about it being a team.
He just acts like a kid who grew up in a country club, having someone caddy for him all the time and being, like, waited on. You know, and even if there's a camaraderie and something there, it's like, no, you're an employee of mine. It's like, dude, you're 20, what is he, 24 maybe now?
If they look at themselves as a team and he felt left down by one of the team members, he has a real reason to.
Oh, at the end of the day, he's hitting his own shot. Could you ever imagine Jack Nicklaus? Like getting on his caddy about, you know, giving him the wrong advice
saying
on something.
He's part of the team.
I can imagine Nance curling up in his lap and just saying, tell me stories, Mr. Nicholson.
You don't want to go play his replica par 3 there?
Did you see that?
I did. A video of it.
I was jaw dropping that entire sequence. I love that you recap that today.
And apparently there's more stuff from the thing. Where's Zolak?
Are we allowed to say?
I think so, because it's going to be obvious
Israel.
Sooner rather than later.
Ah, yes. Oh, he went on that trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's it.
If it's not obvious already, I see all the other players tweeting and Instagramming and all that.
So. How many customs is he going to? How many people is he going to insult by accident?
Oh. Well, you know what, though?
On the plane ride over.
Everybody, the Wailing Wall! There's like 8 bar mitzvahs going on.
That's right.
Wailing Wall!
That's
Does that mean we get to wail on it? Is that what it means?
Do I have to go right to left?
All right. So you guys enjoy yourselves. That'll do it for us. Bye.
Listening to the station that gets you off the bench.
Things aren't going to stop just because Brady retires.
It's part of the game. It happens.
You don't know what the real money is.
You move on. Patriots win. Go Pats.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Go on to 98.5thesportshub.com right now to get into the Hoosier Caddy Classic. All right, Rich, new information is coming about David Ortiz all the time.
Yeah, so this article came out last night from MSN.com, so it seems like a fairly reputable source. As you know, I think they're saying up to 10 people have now been arrested in connection with this. I mean, this is not just some simple assassination attempt. I mean, there are a lot of different sections and things and parts moving around in order to try to have this happen. So that's already strange. But then according to this article, they say this, quote, on one hand, there is Boston baseball icon who has hosted his own charitable golf event in the Dominican Republic every year in David Ortiz, drawing sports world VIPs and raising millions for Dominican and New England disadvantaged children with pediatric heart care needs. On the other hand, there are shady links to the slugger going as far back as his early Red Sox days. Behind his megawatt smile and baseball fame across two countries lie complicated issues and confounding lifestyle choices that include ties to an accused gambler, an alleged affair, and an unreported car chase and subsequent cover-up of the crash. Interviews with Dominican and American sources familiar with the case suggest the shooting was not simply a matter of Ortiz being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and his life may have been in danger even if he'd been in the U.S., 6 days after Ortiz was shot, he remains in a Boston hospital while Dominican authorities have implicated no fewer than 12 people in connection with the attack, including the alleged gunman, 25-year-old Rolfi Fiera Cruz, and two jailed suspects who are accused of somehow masterminding the hit from the prison cells in which they are currently serving time. A Dominican source was incredulous that such a sophisticated operation could be orchestrated from prison in a country where the poverty level is crippling. They coordinate this from jail, says the Dominican source, who has knowledge of the Ortiz case. The source asked not to be identified for fear of reprisal against himself or others. These guys haven't seen $5,000 in their lives. There might be three levels of what's going on here. Number one, the funding and planning. Number two, the execution of the plan. And number three, guys being blamed. They'll probably have one cell phone between them. One is 24 years old. He's been in prison for 5 years. So I think what they're trying to say here is that don't believe what you're hearing right now. It sounds like these two people in prison, there's no possible way they could have coordinated this, but they're trying to deflect it on somebody else who's not involved. They said the Dominican source also is one of the three people who described an alleged incident involving Ortiz in the Dominican Republic that took place months before the shooting. The sources claim Ortiz's white Lexus was chased and cut off by a black Mercedes SUV before crashing in front of a firehouse. Firefighters came to his assistance, according to sources, but an official report is not believed to have been made. The incident did not appear in the media. Now, while current reports say that there could be additional arrests in the shooting case, the Daily News has learned that U.S. law enforcement agencies, including the DEA, are actively involved in the probe, and that a powerfully connected drug kingpin, nicknamed to the abuser, may be one person of interest to authorities. So now, in this case, for some reason, the DEA has been involved. They say two law enforcement sources, however, confirm that the DEA is investigating the Ortiz shooting, and it is possible that the U.S. State Department and other agencies are assisting, too. At least two of the suspects have criminal ties in the U.S. The Associated Press reported that Ferreira Cruz, the alleged gunman, was indicted in a 2017 New Jersey armed robbery case, but never apprehended. The AP said in a news release from the prosecutor's office, another suspect is being sought by authorities, and maybe the same person wanted in a 2018 Pennsylvania shooting, according to the AP. Sources said that the Northeast United States is prime market for drugs coming from the Dominican Republic. Quote, everybody wants to sell to the U.S., said one source. That hit could have easily happened in the United States. All right, so I guess they're saying that because of the drugs, that this, they believe this is all tied in with somebody bringing drugs from the Dominican Republic to the Northeast, that he wasn't safe here as well because there's a lot of moving parts and people are associated with this drug lord down there. They said theories on
so
the
he's
motive.
He's basically not safe here either.
Well, it doesn't sound like it according to this article. Theories on the motive for the Ortiz shooting have varied wildly in hours and days after the shot was fired. The main theory reported by the Daily Mail is that police in the Dominican Republic believe Ortiz was shot by two cops, quote, hired by a Dominican Republic drug lord who thought the baseball player was having an affair with his wife. Of course, an Ortiz representative denied that the shooting had anything to do with the woman, but said it was the act of hired killers. Now, videos taken moments after the shooting show clubgoers violently attacking the driver of the scooter. Another video taken at the Dr. Abel Gonzalez Medical Center, the Dominican hospital where Ortiz was taken for surgery, shows that brawl involving a woman who is not his wife, who is reportedly involved with Ortiz. And on Friday, the gunman shouted to reporters from a holding cell that he had mistaken Ortiz for another intended target and mistakenly shot the slugger. Quote, it wasn't David. I got confused by his clothing. Now, a prosecution spokesman said that is utterly ridiculous.
He's trying to save his ass.
Yeah, he's saying that there's no way that any Dominican would not recognize David Ortiz and that he was making up a story to avoid being attacked in jail. Quote, he can say whatever he wants in an interview. What matters is in the investigation what he said in the interrogation. So in addition to all this stuff and the probe that's been going on down there, this guy named Eddie Dominguez, who is a former resident security agent for the Red Sox when Ortiz was on the team, revealed some troubling elements of Ortiz's off-the-field life in a book that he wrote called Baseball Cop, which came out last year. He wrote that in 2005, while he was an RSA and was still active on the Boston Police Department and a detective and a member of the FBI task force, allegations arose about a member of Ortiz's entourage betting on baseball games, prompting him to open up a FBI investigation. So Felix Leopoldo Marquez Galiz, who was nicknamed Manga, had assumed a false identity in the United States and was identified by one of Dominguez's informants as having frequented a barbershop in Boston to place wagers on baseball games, including a game in July of 2005 between the Red Sox and the White Sox. According to the book, Manga placed two $1,000 bets that day, one on the White Sox to win and the other on the over-under, and won both bets. Dominguez, who became a founding member of baseball's Department of Investigations in 2008, wrote that he later met with Ortiz, former Boston manager Terry Francona, and former security chief Kevin Hallinan at Fenway in 2006 to discuss Manga, the gambling evidence, and Ortiz's ties to him. Ortiz, according to this guy, denied knowing anything about the allegations, but no sooner had the Fenway meeting adjourned than Dominguez wrote that he got a call from his informant telling him that the barber running the gambling parlor that Manga frequented had just shut down the operation. So somebody in that meeting informed them of what was going on, and it was immediately stopped. Dominguez wrote that he turned over his information on the Manga investigation to an FBI task force, and then in 2007, multiple law enforcement agencies carried out a wide-ranging case known as Operation Barbershop. Manga was later arrested by immigration authorities at David Ortiz's home. He was eventually charged with 9 counts of making false claims of U.S. citizenship and deported. So the ends with, whether the Ortiz investigation in the Dominican Republic eventually reaches a powerful drug lord is up for debate, certainly among skeptics. According to 2 sources, one of them a law enforcement official, it is unlikely that a person of such stature would be prosecuted. Quote, no way that guy would be touched,
no,
said the official. He knows people everywhere. The only way would be if American agents, the FBI or the DEA, get involved.
Yeah, and so I'm going to be, like, when all this arrests are over with and it starts going to trial and people stop reporting on it, I'm interested to see exactly what happens in the courts.
Well, I mean,
if this guy is that powerful, what exactly happens?
Well, the whole drug lord thing, there's got to be something to it because we know that the DEA is involved. So we know that.
Yes.
But the one thing that the one thing that I found most interesting is let's say you are David Ortiz and you were chased off the road by a black Mercedes SUV and what sounds like another attempted murder a couple months before the shooting. Yet, according to the Daily Mail, the day before the actual shooting, you went and bought a car for this woman who is alleged being the person that you had an affair with, who's with this drug lord. So that just says to me, dude, you didn't learn your lesson. And apparently all of his friends had been telling him, once again, this is all according to the Daily Mail and the Dominican Republic newspaper, warning him, you do not need to be getting involved with anybody having to do with this drug lord. And it sounds to me that the message was sent. Remember, we were talking about whether they were trying to send him a message? Maybe him being run off the road was the message. And yet he continued, and this was the, all right, the message didn't work, now we're going to try to kill you.
Yeah, and if I'm the guy who botched that hit, I'm
toast.
Yeah, I don't think that you got a good future in front of you.
Well, you have, I mean, think everyone wants to kill you. So you've got not only the people who work for the drug lord because you didn't do it right, and now there's a big shakedown, and they're trying to look into all of this, but you also have people who love David Ortiz from the Dominican Republic, which seems to be the majority of everyone. Right. So everyone wants you dead.
Yeah, I mean, and then by botching that hit, you become someone who gets arrested, and then information starts flowing around about that. I mean, you really screwed it up. I mean, the guy, because I had heard that the cops hired two guys to do it, or the cops found two guys to do it, but I guess that's not the case.
Well, the two people who did it, they're saying were cops.
Okay.
And they were hired by the drug lord.
Okay. All right. Well, the story keeps getting stranger. And it's, they say it could have happened here in the Northeast, which is strange as well.
Well, I mean, I guess that's because any kind of ties to this drug lord, I guess the Northeast is a huge market. And all of those guys who seem to be working down there who are tied in with the drug trade, like the receiving end of it, are all here. So they're close to it. And that's kind of why I was wondering why there was such a police presence when he was brought here, and I wonder if there still is. I mean, that's the other scary thing is that, I mean, is he safe here?
Yeah. I mean, you certainly don't know. It doesn't sound like it. All right. Quickly, we will talk about the NBA draft. There was a cool story that came out of it, and we can talk about a bunch of other stuff, too.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what have we been?
John, you big fan of Fenway Park?
Oh yeah,
you love Fenway. Do you love that? You love the food they got there? You like the
sure
the environment, the atmosphere?
Sure.
Do you like the bathrooms?
No, not particularly.
They're better when they had the troughs.
Because according to a new survey,
can't wait to see where this goes,
of 8,000 baseball fans on SeatGeek.com, Fenway Park has the second worst bathrooms in all of Major League Baseball.
Should have stayed with the troughs, apparently.
I just remember at Tiger Stadium, women coming in and peeing in the troughs.
The troughs were so gross, man.
I never saw that in Fenway, but back when they had the troughs, very communal feeling.
When there was a huge line at the women's room,
oh,
and
sure,
drunk chicks.
Yeah.
No, you never saw drunk chicks get in line,
no,
and go to the bathroom?
No.
That happens every third time?
I haven't seen it.
I never saw it when I was a kid.
You've never had a woman come into the men's room and just go, I got to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
I mean, but in the troughs.
Oh, no, I've never seen
that. That's what I'm talking about. No, just a woman like turns around and squats right next to you. I've never seen that. No.
Have you ever seen a woman go between two cars and go,
yes, I have seen that.
I've seen that. That's gross. Definitely, that's gross. But no, that happens like all the time when I'm at sporting events, that the women will come because the line's always ridiculously long, and they'll always come into the men's room and use the bathroom. That you've never seen that. You've never been in the men's room when a woman came.
No, I thought he was talking about the troughs. I've seen the other thing.
If they open the bleachers, the bleacher creatures, they called them. You could get in for like a buck, and they would just
sit in the upper deck there.
Yeah, and like all hell stadium. Hell would break loose.
What is the only stadium ranked worse?
Oakland.
Of course, Oakland. Ring Central Coliseum from the Oakland Athletics. Just blow that place up. It's still, I believe, the only stadium that has football games there as well.
Yes,
and you can see the lines in the
field. We have to play on dirt. And, yes,
which
that's right.
Will end next year. Thank goodness, at least, we're going to get one more year there from Hard Knocks, which I can't wait for. Counting down the day. To be quite honest, that is like kind of when the fall begins. Like, I don't even think it's not even football season I'm looking forward to. It's Hard Knocks.
August 5th.
August 5th.
All right.
I think that's
don't
it right there.
Don't wish the summer away.
Atmosphere, Fenway Park was ranked 14th. So for all the people who like the magic of Fenway Park.
What goes into atmosphere?
Just like, do you like being there?
Yeah, do you like
sitting facing the bullpen in section 5?
That's probably part of it. It's okay. Probably the reason why it's 14 and not up near the top.
All right.
In food, it is ranked 24th out of 30. The food has gotten better there. You can get a tasty burger inside of Fenway Park,
okay,
which actually is an upgrade.
Okay.
Fenway Franks are wildly overrated.
No, the bun is disgusting, and they're boiled.
I don't mind boiled hot dogs. Boiled hot dogs are fine.
Oh, that's, come on.
But, I mean, you don't get much of a hot dog.
I don't mind them either.
Yeah, well, that's because you grew up in places that didn't have proper hot dogs.
I see. Tiger Stadium had proper hot dogs?
I don't remember. They had a guy that came around with the margarita machine.
Really? He was just strapped to his chest? And he was just like...
No, it's strapped to his back. And if you were a bleacher creature, you could bring in your own beer.
That's great. That would be great if you could do that.
I used to read stories about outfielders that would hate to play at Tiger Stadium because fans would throw stuff at them from the upper deck.
Oh, yeah.
In the outfield.
Because they didn't open up the bleachers a lot. But when they did, oh, boy. Downriver, baby. Coming in.
Just be careful.
Yeah. Just driving drunk as you driving blacked out drunk.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if you mentioned this, but the Hoosier Caddy Classic sold out. 90 seconds. 90 seconds, the whole thing sold out. For the people who are trying to log on right now, I am sorry. You will not be able to get through.
That's great.
It's just like KISS tickets.
Yep.
You got to get in line at like 4 in the morning.
Did you hear Ace Frehley was talking trash on KISS when they went to Madison Square Garden, and it took them like, I don't know, like 3 days. We used to sell that thing out in 2 minutes flat, and it's taken them a couple of days now. They're not as good as they were when I was in the band.
I agree.
That's probably true.
No one wants to see Tommy Thayer.
No one wants to see. We saw them. We saw them touch the sun, Frank.
Yes. We saw the actual reunion tour when Ace was too drunk to play.
And Peter was in pain the entire time trying to do a simple drum beat.
I have a very classy purple rose to give in because my mother loved them.
Beth, one of the worst songs ever recorded, to be quite honest. So,
and it bothered Gene.
Because it was like their biggest hit.
Because it was their biggest hit.
Mm-hmm. It was a solo thing. All right, so O.J. Simpson, if you did not hear it, got on Twitter and sent out a little tweet.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake O.J. accounts out there. So this one, @TheRealOJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
All right, well, that's fairly terrifying. He also put out a Happy Father's Day tweet as well, but somebody who said, hey, not so fast as far as bad days is concerned, I'll put out a tweet as well from jail. And that would be Bill Cosby, the Cosman.
Hell yeah!
On Father's Day, put out a tweet that says, hey, 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 it's America's dad.
Yeah.
I know it's late, but to all the dads, it's an honor to be called a father. So let's make today a renewed oath to fulfilling our purpose, strengthening our families and communities.
You're allowed to use Twitter in prison?
Well, he apparently told his representative, probably his lawyer, to put that out on Twitter. Send it a nice Happy Father's Day tweet.
Like, he's completely blind and super old. Apparently, he has to have someone walk him around, like, to guide him around.
Well, when he came in studio... what, 6 or 7 years before his arrest? He came in studio with us. Crash was still here.
Yes.
And by the way, I was here too, I believe.
It was one of the best interviews. I mean, it was a great interview.
Yeah.
But he did have a little bit of Admiral Akbar eye going on at that time.
Yeah, you could tell that his eyes weren't. He's just like blind and being walked around. And it's just, I mean, it's
he's very following, strange. He's following six accounts on Twitter.
Oh, no.
Anyone want to guess?
Oh, I don't know. Roofandall.com.
What is he following?
PBS. Oh. Sinbad. ESPN.
You know Sinbad's like, dude.
Turner Classic Movies. There are two more. Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Hell yeah.
And the last one is Sesame Street.
Oh, my God. That's terrifying. Speaking of comedians, so there's that show driving in comedians and getting coffee.
Seinfeld
one, which I've watched some of it, and it's not that great.
No,
it's a decent concept. It's basically you for what 30 minutes you sit down and talk to these comedians about.
He's got a different car every time,
yeah, and then he goes on and on and on about the car.
Yeah,
but I saw a teaser for the new season, and you know one of the people he's going to do it with, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I
that'd
saw
be
that.
Good. That'd be good.
That I'd want to watch.
Well, the one that was the saddest is he did it with Kramer.
Ooh.
Like, he did it with Kramer, and, like, that dude's gone, like, he's not with him mentally anymore.
Because
like,
the last we heard from Kramer, he did that set at the Laugh Factory, whatever, in Los Angeles. And remember, he said the N-word, and everyone went crazy for him. Like, I haven't heard anything from him since then.
No, he did it because he did comedians in cars getting coffee, and I feel bad for him.
He just lost his mind?
Yeah, I mean, like, he doesn't have a career anymore. Like, it ruined his life.
But he made, like, $1 zillion off that show.
I don't know that he did.
See, I thought that all four of them made, like, a ton of money. Like, in the later years,
I'm sure he made a lot of money. But, I mean, he can never perform again. And he's a performer. I mean, that's what he wants to do. But he, you know, made the mistake. And now, apparently, like, you can't. Can't pay. You got to pay for your sins for the rest of your life.
I just got a tweet from one of our female listeners said, "What's so gross about a woman popping a squat to pee in between cars while you guys pee in water bottles while driving in a car filled with people?" Well, they're both gross.
No, I don't.
It's disgusting.
I don't pee in a bottle with the dudes in the car, but I was never in a band.
I did that, yes, and it ended up throwing out the window, and it came ricocheted right back into the inside and shot all over the window.
The sentence used to call it cup in hand and van.
Yeah, you have to stop the car to throw it out, or it will indeed come back in. Yes. The Raptors expect up to 2 million people to attend their victory parade, but to that I say, will you have Brett Hull there?
Glory, Gloria.
It's great. The video is fantastic. And I guess they went the entire... This softens the blow a little bit to the Bruins losing, is that Brett Hull's just becoming a superstar. And I guess that they, last night late, got into the MGM Grand.
Yep.
And there's videos of him, like, nearly walking into walls. Like, I don't think he slept in, like, 5 days.
Yeah, he's been drunk since... I wasn't following the Blues, but since certainly the beginning of the series.
I retweeted the video of him wandering the streets by himself at 3 a.m. the day before the parade.
Yeah, he's been pretty drunk. Cause he went out
We've had a good time.
Jeez. I mean,
we went Blues!
We went Blues.
Yeah, he was trying to say, it's not let's go Blues, it's we went.
Yeah, you're right.
We don't have to go anymore because we already did it.
In a van down by the river.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. We went Blues. Yeah. We went Blues.
Yes, you did. What an excellent. I mean, just give me videos all day of that dude.
Well, now that he's in Vegas, I'm sure there'll be at least one or two more.
Who wrote the Van by the River sketch?
Bob Odenkirk.
Yes, and he did not write it for Chris Farley. He had written it years before.
Mm-hmm. But it was really a perfect, perfect person to write it for.
Yes.
And I love you so much!
Yes, you do. Quentin Tarantino, by the way, just started watching all of the Avengers movies. His favorite, by a long shot, he says, is Thor Ragnarok. So, just in case you wanted to know.
I need to know.
Big thumbs up from Nick in the other room.
I actually agree with him. That might be my favorite, too. Thor Ragnarok was excellent.
Okay.
Legitimately funny.
But were you emotionally exhausted afterwards?
Not emotionally exhausted by that one, no.
All right. We'll be right back. We'll find out what Zolik and Bertrand have on the way.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.